Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio from the 38th edition of the Lovers Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of Mike Doyle, director of Passing Through Out of Competition here. Hello, Mike.
Buonasera.
Very good. So, first of all, would you like to introduce your film for our listeners?
Yes. Hi. I'm delighted to be here. Piacere. My film is called Passing Through, and this is my second lungometraggio. And I made this film basically during a period of 10 days during lockdown, during a cross-country trip across America, while I was camping in the woods alone. And I shot the film entirely on an iPhone 10, which was very difficult to do alone. And making this film was very different from my first film, which was a comedy, a romantic comedy, a big budget, large scale, a lot of actors, a lot of moving parts. This was much more intimate, more personal, and it wasn't a comedy.
About that, this film, as you said, is completely different from your first feature film. And I was wondering, was the pandemic that pushed you as an artist towards, let's say, go in this different territory and also genres? Or it was a thing that you thought before?
Well, that is a great question. Let me just back up a little bit and to tell your listeners what Passing Through is. It's a story of a frontline worker who is pushed to the edge. He cuts himself off from the world in his apartment, then finally decides to break out of that and go on this journey where a number of things start to happen, and we question whether he's losing his mind or something more nefarious is at play. And at the end, I don't want to give it away. We understand the nature of the journey. But to your question about making something different, was it the pandemic? Partially, because I was, as we all were, cut off from our regular means of work, of connection, of community. And as a creative person, it's important to create. And now, I'm not a painter, I am a writer, but I'm primarily a director and an actor, which requires community, requires other people to interact with. So it was very, at first I was very calm with it. I was happy to just pause, because as creative people, you're constantly thinking of what next, what next. And then I became, a number of things, restless, but, depressed and, frustrated and anxious, and I wanted to make something. And the story was inspired. I needed to see my family. I needed to be with people. So I decided the only safe way to do it, because we knew nothing at the time, was to drive from New York to California. And I knew that I could pitch a tent in the middle of the woods, have a cooking stove, make my own food, and I would be okay. And when I was in my apartment, I set up the tent in my apartment one night to sleep in it, just to understand how the tent works, because I'm not really so outdoorsy. I live in New York, so it's the city. And I woke up the next morning, and I had this idea that came to me that what would happen if I didn't wake up? And so that's where the inspiration for the film came.
Reading the press kit, I found this sentence that I think it's beautiful. You said it's about facing demons, this film, and not about winning, but giving a good fight. Can you explain this sentence?
Yeah. Well, I think there's this notion that, you know, that there's a binary of being happy and being the opposite. Having demons and having no demons. And I think what I meant to say by fighting the demons and putting up the good fight, it's a different way of saying working through your stuff, working through, it's the process. Like demons, the stuff that challenges us in life, doesn't necessarily disappear. But if we face it and we confront it rather than fighting implies, it's a good quote, but fighting implies that there's a winner and a loser, but it's a confrontation. And I think, you know, someone smarter than me said, you know, if you can dance with your demons, then you're all the better.
Like embrace your demons. Sometimes it's the better way to live.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Watching your film, I also wonder, what was your typical shooting day like?
That's a great question. Well, it was, when you're camping in the woods alone, it's really quite boring. You have to wake up when the sun rises and you go to sleep when the sun sets. And yes, you can read, but it's a lot of time alone with really no stimulus. So I was really happy every morning that I had something to do. So I would typically wake up at, I think the sun was rising around 5:30 in the morning, and I had my little mocha, and I made my...
As Italian, I'd say I really appreciate the mocha in your film.
Well, it was out of necessity, really, because it's the easiest way to make coffee on the road. It's very simple, and it's, you know, it's been around for a long time for a reason. I would make some coffee, I'd eat a little something, and then I would figure out what I needed to shoot for that day. And I had a script, of course, and I had a list of things that I knew I needed. Some things were more particular than others. I knew I had to have an animal of some sort hit the windshield. It wasn't supposed to be the cardinal. I didn't know how I was going to figure this out. And I was like, I'll find something in the woods that's dead along the side of the road. And I saw this, I think it was like a little chipmunk pulled over to the side of the road. It must have been hit by a car. And as I got out of the car, right at my feet was this perfectly preserved cardinal. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe that appeared like that. It was so strange, you know, because before I had my thing of, you know, I knew I wanted the shot with the blood in the car wash, and I had my fake blood, and I had, you know, I had a lot of props that I knew that I would have to shoot. But I also had the luxury of, you know, the countryside in America is so vast and so different in each area, very much like Italy, your different parts, like Puglia, per esempio. And so I was in 14 states, and I found amazing things that were surprising and unexpected. The abandoned house I found in Tennessee, I didn't have that. And it became a central part. I had a different version. I had a different way that I was going to tell those story beats. And I happened upon this house, and it was just an incredible surprise. And also, a little scary because, well, first of all, that house is abandoned, but I didn't have film permits. I was shooting, you know, when I put that car through the car wash with all of the red on the, people were looking at me like, what the hell is going on over there? And I thought, should I explain? I was like, no, they'll have a story.
During the making of the film, did you ever regret your decision to direct, act, and so on all by yourself?
Yes. There were many times where I was going to give up because it was a lot of work to do alone. And, you know, every day I had this special extension power outlet that I could plug in three prongs, because every day I had to make sure, you know, I had to dump it from my phone, because a phone can only, you know, I was shooting in 4K with this app called Filmic Pro, and it takes up a lot of space, and I could only keep so much on the phone. And also I needed to back it up on my computer. I needed to back it up on a hard drive. And it was very challenging. And there were times where I'm like, I can't do it. And I'm glad that I pushed through. But it was an incredible amount of work. Yeah.
One last question. When you work on a film like this all by yourself, when do you know how to stop?
That is an excellent question. I think that's a question in general for anybody who creates, when to step away and when is the work done. I don't know. I feel like for me, that is always like it's a sense that I have. There's no sort of checklist of like, okay, now of course there's the checklist of your shots and your, you know, but a lot of this story was crafted during the edit, like the real nuance, la sfumatura, mi piace molto questa parola, sfumatura. And it took a while for that to happen. And we kept going in and like, this doesn't quite work. This doesn't quite work. And then, you know, with a film like this, because there's very little dialogue, the sound design was extremely important, as was the score. And I was really fortunate to work with Denise and Tiago from Pulsar Studios in Portugal, amazing sound designers. And my composer, Jonathan Bingham, out of San Francisco, and my editor, Jamie Sikonik. And we together, I feel like it's a film by us. It's, you know, we did that together. And we knew when it was ready.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Grazie a te. Piacere conoscerti.
And I am Federica Scarpa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.